you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's clear.
Everyone loves you.
Reading from John chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. And this is Jesus speaking, Jesus' prayer for all believers. So hopefully this is going to be a blessing to you, or a reminder to you that he cares, that he loves you, that he wants to have you a part of his plan this very day. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for all those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, June 7th, 2023, and it's day three for Elijah Eastvold. He's our new intern here at the WLUJ family of stations, and for that matter, for Great News Media. We're having him learn about voiceovers and work in the studio equipment and doing a little bit of everything. So I'm getting to appreciate Elijah. And so day three, you're back for some more, Elijah. I haven't totally worn you out.
Doing good, learning a lot.
Doing good and learning a lot. Real sweet, 17-year-old, homeschooled, smart kid. In fact, I told some of his story yesterday on how he wanted to be an intern, and we talked a little about his granddad, Paul, who I call the radio servant. This ministry is really blessed to have him most days here in the morning, and his dad I got to meet. I told that whole story yesterday, so if you missed out on it, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But Elijah began his internship on Monday, and I talked about that whole story. Yesterday, we read some listener letters. I tried to help him capture the vision of how this ministry can touch so many different lives in so many different ways. So we had fun reading listener mail just to give him the encouragement that, you know, I'm trying to raise up the next generation of broadcasters, and he has a heart for the Lord and wanted to serve with our ministry. So it's fun having him back for day three. Well, also back today is a special friend. I had Kevin Slott on a few weeks ago. We were talking about the Billy Sunday event and gathering and his expectations of what he hoped God would do or accomplish. And so I haven't been able to give a recap. I know on Monday we mentioned a little bit with Levi Vincent about his impressions of the wonderful unity and how God was glorified through the gathering. But I was hoping today, Kevin, you could kind of walk us through the program, what you saw God doing, and then your vision for 2024, because I think you were telling me some of your goals were building trust, building unity, and practicing for next year and building momentum for 2024. So give us a little recap, maybe walk us through the bulletin that was handed out for the 400, 500 plus people that came out, what was achieved, and what you hope God's going to do in 2024.
Well, thanks, Mark. First of all, thank you for having me back. It's great to be back on Mark and Friends with my friend Mark. And yeah, I'd love to talk about that, because in a lot of ways, we're just getting started. And this kicked it off. So on that Sunday afternoon, we kicked things off with C.C. Doss praying about the actual prayer that Billy Sunday prayed. In fact, that was the theme, even as you read at the beginning of the program here, Jesus' prayer. And that prayer being answered. We have here an amazing answer to prayer. And first of all, it's an amazing prayer that shocked everybody as they were walking out of that first meeting. There was an attack, a physical attack on Billy Sunday. Nonetheless, the newspaper reported that two big things were being talked about. First, that he was attacked on stage, But right up there with it was that this prayer, this stunning prayer that he would pray that thousands would be saved. And in 6 weeks, thousands were.
And that was one of the things we talked about some weeks ago when I had you on, and also the special impersonator that played the role of Billy Sunday, Russ Williams, that the history records like a tenth of Springfield coming to know the Lord, that God was at work because there were race riots, there was disunity. In fact, I think there were reports of some people from downstate Illinois will say Chicago's so terrible. But throughout the nation, people said Springfield, Illinois was like a bevy of evil. It was a bad place. It wasn't a place that people would want to live. And yet Billy Sunday was used of God to start turning that around and bringing calm and peace and unity. And so talk a little about your hopes and dreams for that continuing to happen in our day and age.
Well, yeah, first of all, like you were saying, the backdrop is that Springfield was known across the country as an immoral place. And as early as 1907, the pastors, 21 pastors and a total of 70, came together with a petition to then Mayor Roy Reese because they saw this community going down fast. And that was before the race riots. But yeah, that was our reputation, the prostitution. People here are familiar with the levee area and what was going on. So they were working hard to head this off. And the decision at that meeting was we need essentially a tidal wave of religion to turn back the tide of the awful tide of increasing immorality that was happening in this city.
I know on Monday when we had Levi in the studio, he was talking about the worship. So let's walk through the program.
Yeah.
So C.C. Doss, I love that guy, filled with energy, very gifted singer-songwriter, passionate to help people enter into a time of worship. And so he put together, I think it was your and the Billy Sunday Committee's idea to have different people from different churches coming together representing different walks of life. So it was started out with some passionate worship.
Yes. Dion Kreitz started things off by reading Billy Sunday's prayer. And so we could all pray along that prayer for Springfield again, because it's specifically for Springfield, as I was saying. And then Dion added his own passionate prayer, and it was a powerful moment there as he prayed. And then I had the opportunity to give a little historical background to that prayer.
And that was something that I think you mentioned this a few weeks ago when we interviewed you. You didn't know a lot of this information, but the history books, the newspapers, there's a whole little booklet on all the things that were recorded, because this was big news 100 plus years ago.
Exactly, yeah. Newspapers across the country all picked up, especially the attack on Billy Sunday, since he was such a big deal already and he's attacked on stage. So, yeah, that was like the Academy Awards attack, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. So as far as how big that was, 8,000 people and in this tabernacle, and he's attacked on stage, and he jumps off and goes after the guy, and in the end comes back to the stage. And you know, very humbly says, well, I could get into it as fast as anybody. Because you imagine a baseball player when they get hit with the baseball, what do? You know, they go after that pitcher. So he humbly said that. And then in his prayer, actually in this prayer for Springfield, he says, we pray for the enemy that would strike down. We wish him no ill, no hard feelings. And I think that's got to be directed to the guy who came after him with a bully whip and got him three times. But I think this prayer is just a stunning prayer. That would be just one thing. But in this prayer, he says, in this crisis, we pray. And we talked about, well, what crisis?
Hmm.
Well, the crisis, it refers back to the race riots. The governor had to call out the National Guard. 5,000 mobsters, and you know, it was just a huge disaster and burnt homes. And we all know here in Springfield area, we all know what happened at that time. So out of the ashes of that, then you have Billy Sunday 8 months later praying this prayer for Springfield and praying that thousands and thousands will be saved. And I think Billy Sunday is often known for his sermons against alcohol, against the saloons, and he prays that as well. And it's interesting to note two things about that. Number one, it was out of those saloons that this angry mob formed and did the attack. That's one thing. But the other interesting thing is what he actually prays. He prays that Save the saloon keepers. I don't hate them. You know that, God. It is their business I hate. I hate it with every drop of my blood, every wink of my eye, with every step that I take. I don't hate the men. Save them. Save them. Save them. Hmm. We ask your blessing upon them. And I think that was his heart. His prayer was that so that God could show the incomparable riches of his mercy and grace. And a stunning prayer, and then it happens. We talked about 4,000. Yeah, that's substantiated. They were very meticulous about their records, and actually 4,700 people accepted Christ. And at the time, there was 48,000 in Springfield. So yeah, 10%. Simple math, that's about a tenth.
Yeah. So back to the program then, mm-hmm. Our friend David Swihart, he came up, and I think it was because of Billy Sunday in that time. Is that when the Washington Street Mission started? And then I think there was an offering that helped start the YMCA or something. So what was David's role?
Yeah, we had two local speakers talk, and the purpose of that was to substantiate this bold assertion that we have that it was 6 weeks that saved the soul of Springfield. Well, that's quite a whopper to throw out there. But so we had David Swihart talk about Washington Street Mission that began as a result of this transformation that happened in Springfield. That's what happens. You know, what happens in a city when a tenth of the city accepts Christ? Mm-hmm. What sort of things happen? Well, you do things like you start a Washington Street Mission, you start a YWCA. Then our other person that we had give a talk, this was probably, for me personally, the highlight, just that special moment where, you know, thank you, God, that I get to tell the story. Who am I that I get to tell this story? But I get to say that 3 weeks before the race riots, these ministers are meeting to bring Billy Sunday back.
Now, this is back in the early
1909. Okay. Yes. 1908. 3 weeks before the race riots, 1908. They're together trying to bring Billy back. And then the race riots happen. And then 2 weeks later, they're meeting at First Congregational Church. And so I was saying the pastor then at First Congregational Church where this meeting was happening was a J.W. Johnson. And I said, imagine if he could see into the future that 2 weeks out of the smoldering ashes of the race riots, that in the future there was going to be a pastor, Lisa Doss. And then I asked mm-hmm. Lisa to stand. And of course, Lisa's African-American. And yeah, there was just a lot of applause for her and the fact and the wonder of that answered prayer. And most of all, you know, praising God that he answers prayer.
I don't know if you can see that. Do you see the hair standing up on my forearm?
Yeah.
I mean, it is inspiring to think the turnaround. Here's an African-American woman overseeing a church that they had prayed about during the race riots and how God, sometimes in his divine sense of humor or in his providence, how he fits things together that the world would just be, how can this be? Because
yes.
God was all over it.
And that's the message, that's the delightful message that we get to share, and that there is so much racial harmony happening and continuing to happen at the cross that needs to happen in the heart that can't happen or doesn't necessarily happen by changing the laws, but to happen in the hearts. And that's just one delightful example. And when Lisa talked,
she came up on stage
yes.
after you introduced
yes.
her. And
Yeah, later in the program, we had her come up. Yep.
Now, there was somebody that shared some church stories. Cause
yeah,
way
that
back
was Lisa.
In the 19- okay,
yeah, so. That was Lisa talking about her church and what happened there and that, how they've welcomed her. Her church is on the west side, basically, and it's a white church, and here they have this black pastor. It's wonderful. It's
yeah.
just wonderful.
And then was there an offering? How did the funds get raised? Were your needs met? Can our listeners help? Where are we at financially with this?
Yeah. At the offering time, that we need about $2,000, but anything above that will go toward next year. And as checks are still coming in, I think we're going to wind up about $2,000 toward next year. And so we're delighted with that, to be kicking things off that way.
And do you want to jump into what are some of the expectations or goals for next year? Do you want to talk about that now or wait till we finish going through this program?
Oh, no, no, it's top of mind. Let's talk about it now.
Sure.
So our hopes for this year, I think, have been vastly exceeded in that we wanted to build trust. Just run a good event and to run it in the black and to build trust. The event itself was a delightful thing. And then we want to build church unity. And I think, you know, I think your smaller churches, they'll just see it and decide, boom, they'll go. But a larger church is more like a larger investment bank. And they need to be cautious. They have so many people that would be affected if they promote something and it's good or not good. So I've gotten emails from larger churches. I think pastors from larger churches went and just checked it out themselves. So we have that kind of trust building, which is essential toward next year. And I like a Billy Sunday or a Billy Graham even. If we were inviting them to town, I don't know if they would come just yet,
right?
Because we're building that kind of unity, and they've required that kind of unity. And for Billy Sunday, in order to come, all the churches had to work together and prove it by building a tabernacle that would hold 8,000 people. That's a lot of working together.
Yeah, now you held it in the Bank of Springfield Center, you know, mm-hmm. air-conditioned, nice indoors, but 100-plus years ago, this was a big tent, a lot of labor to put it all together to accommodate, if you can imagine, a tent that could accommodate 8,000 people. I mean, it's humongous.
And to get a feel for that, yeah, you could get a feel for that at Bank of Springfield Center because that holds 7,800. But next year, what we want to do is have a tent. I've talked with the Arm Brewster, you know, here's the tent for 4,000. And, you know, we're batting ideas around, but that's one of them, that we'd like to have a tent that big and have historical reenactment. You know, people come up in period dress, the Historical Society, happy to help us out with that and to have that kind of a big tent meeting next year, sometime between... On the 115-year anniversary, Billy Sunday was here for 6 weeks from February 26th to Easter. And so somewhere in there, we're batting it around to do the 115-year anniversary celebration.
So listening friend, it's a little early now, but put it on your calendar. I don't know. You probably don't even have a calendar for 2024 yet, but between February and March, the end of February up until about Easter time, there's going to be a great event here in Springfield. We'll be obviously saying much more about it in the days ahead as it's prayed up and planned out and thought through, but we're excited to see God at work. And for that matter, I know there's a group in Champaign that has been meeting. We've been meeting for about a year, a prayer group that have been just been praying up some possibilities and options. And I think we have an official date for a community-wide prayer gathering at the Virginia Theater. I think it's November 11th. And we're going to set two or three of those prayer gatherings just to really saturate our community in prayer and seek the Lord for his leading into the future. And I'm excited as a ministry to partner with you and both different groups to see what God's going to do for Champaign-Urbana, for Springfield, for the state of Illinois, for our country as we're able to be a beacon of light, to be those witnesses. And so be praying up an upcoming event in 2024 here in Springfield between February and March. More to say in the coming days. And you had talked about the momentum. You saw the many churches coming together. I'm seeing that with our Ministry Leaders Network in Champaign, where 30, 40, 50 pastors each and every month coming together, building rapport, networking, being encouraged by one another. And that's happening in Springfield. So I'm just hoping we can kind of merge both of these communities and get Peoria and Bloomington and Decatur and Beardstown, Whitehall, Carlinville, all these communities, these pastors working together and really see what God does when we unify.
Yeah, and there's just such a passion when people come together, and that's what was in the building at our event, was just so much passion, and part of that is just is so delightful. It's a little taste of heaven, different races, different churches, everybody coming together. It just makes you joyful, and then C.C. Doss leading and L.T. leading the worship. Wow, a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and that enthusiasm showed up certainly in the offering as far as how many people gave, and then it showed up on the envelopes as well because there was a chance to volunteer to get involved in next year. And for anybody who wasn't able to be there, they can go to the website, which is BillySunday1909.org, and sign up there. Just communicate from there to I want to be involved, I want to help plan, I want to give. You can give online there. And so as we look to next year, we just want to open that up to everybody. Hey, Mark, another thing I want to bring up was about the big picture is the transformation of Springfield and what happened there. And that in 6 weeks, so much changed. We talked about the number of people who were saved. But Billy came and he confronted Springfield about its many vices. And one huge vice was a racial attitude vice, obviously coming 8 months after the race riots. And while Springfield kind of had their head in the sand and wasn't standing up for justice to be done about it, he confronted Springfield and said, if I had been there, If I had the lawful authority, I would have made the cobblestone streets of Springfield run red with the blood of that cowardly, wicked mob that did the attack. And the newspaper of that report said there was a great stir in the tabernacle as he made that confrontation. And the in summary of what happened is this quote from the Ministerial Alliance souvenir booklet. He said, "Today, Springfield, from the police force to the legislator and executive," that would be Governor Dineen, who had prayer meetings at his house as well, "is at Billy Sunday's feet. Mr. Sunday recorded an old-fashioned army musket indictment against the whole city, and the great number of pleas of guilty that are coming in show the truth of the charge. Church members have been awakened to Christian duty. Sinners have been brought to repentance. Men who have not seen the inside of a church for years have been converted. Lawyers, doctors, businessmen, and politicians are convicted and publicly acknowledge that Bill is right and they are wrong. The governor has honored the movement, much to his credit, by his presence." And I love this last thing that he says, is, "Nothing that she has ever done speaks so well for Springfield as her inviting Mr. Sunday and his wonderful aggregation to come here." R.L. Fleming.
BillySunday1909.org. BillySunday1909.org. And I think you're working on some video clips or some highlights of the event. So those will be posted in the coming days and hopefully building more and more momentum. This is an idea really that you had as you were reading about the history and you moved forward on it. You're like, "Lord, are you really calling me to be a catalyst to bring this about?" And you got more and more passionate about it. And it was a no-brainer for me to try to support and encourage. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do in 2024 throughout our state. And I want our ministry to be on the cutting edge, promoting it, helping it, assisting in a variety of ways. And even our intern will probably have a role for Elijah to help us connect with the youth, because the youth is our future, and they're the ones that we want to be pouring into and helping and discipling and nurturing, and they'll return a blessing into the future. So I think you closed out with Tom Hay. He brought his trumpet again. Did he do a little? Okay, so I've seen him at some of the Iron Sharpening the Iron, or he's used the trumpet, I think, at one of the fundraisers recently in the area. And then Russ Williams do the Billy Sunday impersonation, and then closed out with "O Father, You Are Holy" and "Fire, Fire." Who led that? Was that CC again?
Yeah. Since we're celebrating on Pentecost Sunday, we welcome the Holy Spirit back again, welcome Jesus back again, come on back. And then that song was essentially a revive us again. And then people were invited to come down and pray. And a lot of people stuck around, maybe even a half hour, 45 minutes longer to pray together. And some came forward to pray for family members. And actually, one of the ushers told me someone accepted Christ at that.
And I like the emphasis. I'm holding the program that was given out to the many people that attended. And on the back, you have unity in prayer, prayer together by phone. So there is a phone number people can call, specific times to be prayed for, pray together in person, where they could go and find prayer. And then it closed out with what we kind of opened up the program with, some verses out of John chapter 17. So I'll close out, as I believe this is Jesus's desire for all of us, all of you that are tuned in today, all of you that are followers of Jesus. For those of you that haven't began on your faith journey yet, Jesus wants to bring you into the family. He loves and cares for you. So reading as we close out the program, John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Kevin Slott, and our new intern, Elijah Easvold, with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.